so glad to see you here this morning, and His grace is sufficient for all of our needs. His grace is sufficient for the needs of Journey Through Christmas and getting the gospel to thousands of people that are going to see the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have about a minute and 20 second video to kind of remind you of what Journey Through Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus and portraying that. So I think the guys have that ready to go, and we'll do that, and then have scripture and prayer.
That makes you eager for it, doesn't it? Amen. Does me. I'm going to ask Pilate, if he will, to make his way toward the platform to open us in prayer in a minute. Yes, Pilate is here. We know him as Brother Dale Gimble. Open your Bibles, Colossians 3, or look in your bulletins, either one. Colossians 3, we'll read verses 12 through 17. Exciting time of year. It's a vortex. It'll catch you. It'll pull you right in, and I hope it does. If you're not involved, get involved. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a tough one. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. As we start this month of thanks and this season of celebration, we do it all to the glory of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Dale, if you'll open us in prayer, please, this morning. Thank you, sir.
Before I pray, I mentioned to the people on Thursday night, I happened to be in Dallas last week when Voices of Victory were doing their concert at Richard Wallace's church. We got there on Sunday afternoon and got to go to the evening service. And I'd just like to say that this group of young people, I think all of the young people in our church, but especially this group, are an outstanding example of representing Jesus Christ in this church. And you as a church should be very proud of them, the parents especially. And when they were performing, you could just see the look on Pastor Reynolds' face, how pleased he was and how much work he's put into their performance. And you should be very, very proud of this group of young people.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We just ask that you would be with the service today. Pray that you would, the songs would touch our hearts and the message to follow, that you would just work on each heart. If there are any here who did not know you as Savior, pray that this would be the day they'd come to know you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's take our hymn books and turn to page 753. Stand, if you will. Let's sing, Jesus is Coming Again. 753. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. What you're singing. That means that since he wins, we win. We're on the winning team. What a wonderful joy. What a wonderful truth. Standing before him at last. On that ending, we're going to lift it up. Oh, what a wonderful day it would be. Jesus, just lift the roof. On the last verse now. Standing before him at last. Trial and trouble all past. Crowds at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Sing it now. Oh, what a wonderful thing it will be. Jesus is coming again. Amen. You sang it like you believe it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, that puts us right in the mood for Thanksgiving, doesn't it? I mean, we're ready for it. Seems like this ought to be Thanksgiving weekend instead of Veterans Day weekend. But this is Veterans Day weekend, and we have among us many people who served. We do not make as much of this weekend as perhaps we would like to, simply because we make such a big deal on July the 4th. But I want you to know that we do appreciate all of you who serve and have served in the armed forces of this nation. If you're here today, you presently serve, or you served in the armed forces of this nation, would you please stand? We're indebted to you, and we thank you. And I trust that those who are younger than most who stood will make some kind of a commitment to those of you who stood, that we'll do our best to put this country back to something that is what you fought for. And anyway, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. Appreciate what Brother Gimbel had to say about last weekend and being in Dallas. We told the people out there that Dale and his wife were just our fan club, and they just travel around and listen to us wherever we go. And it's not really like that, but he had to be working in the Dallas area, and so they came there on Sunday night, and what a delight to have them. Another couple that moved to Dallas, and were just here in our church for a very brief time, the Romigs, were there last Sunday night also, and we enjoyed seeing them again, and thankful for them coming. I want you to pray for the Hornsby family, LG. Many of you know LG, passed away Thursday night, and I trust you'll pray for Nancy Deason and all the family, his daughter and all the family, and particularly pray for his wife, Judy. Trust you'll pray for her. She's totally deaf, and it's a little difficult for her to grasp everything, but the Lord is blessing and helping in that in a very good way, just like we'd expect the Lord to do. The flowers here at the front today are put here by Shane Chakowski's grandmother. And this week was the anniversary of Shane's going home to be with the Lord. Aaron and I were riding back from Pine Ridge High School. And we were coming down Hallen. We came by the little floral arrangement there. And my heart was moved and his heart was moved. And I want to read what I believe is on this card in the flower arrangement here. Good to have many of the family here and friends here today also. And I believe grandmother wrote this. Is that right? Yeah. Shane lives in our lives every day, his blue eyes and sweet smile. We feel and see his life all around us. I've discovered joy is found in the small things in life, a bright star on a dark night, song of a bird, soft rain, quiet breeze, wings of a butterfly or a rainbow sent by God, who is right there holding us in his arms. Our hope is found in love, not sadness. For at the end of the day, we are covered with God's love. We honor Shane's life through our service and love for others as Christ first loved us. And what a statement, particularly regarding Shane, because that was just sort of the mantra of his life. We honor Shane's life through our service and love for others as Christ first loved us. I see God's light every day in the life we live, the plans he has for each of us. As long as our faith lives in Christ and our Lord, we honor Shane. And would to God that we would all understand that those who have gone are honored most by what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you. Thank you so much for that, and our prayers are with you. Be okay if I have a prayer with you right now. Father, I do thank you for this family that comes on the anniversary of this young man, whom they loved and raised and laughed with, and all those things that go into being a child like Chain was. I thank you for him, Lord. I thank you for his influence that still lingers. And I ask your blessing upon this family. I pray now, Lord, that again you will comfort hearts. I thank you for the card that expresses also their rejoicing in all those who were saved because of Shane's coming home to be with you. And Father, probably the most effective time in his life of winning others to you was the time he went home to be with you. And so, Father, I thank you for that, and I ask your blessings upon them today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We love you. God bless you. Pray God's richest blessing upon you. Live for God. Live for God. Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you will pray one for another and hold one another up before the Lord in prayer. Today we did something that was a first for this church. We had a bus route run, and they are some kids here today and came in on the bus, and some adults too. All right, wonderful. Good to see you guys. Thank you for being here. What a privilege. And the one who was kind of the inspiration for this is Brittany Salagi. So just as it would be expected, Friday night, Brittany went to the hospital with appendicitis and had surgery yesterday. And so I don't think she's here this morning, although, Frank, she was trying to get out in time to get here for church. But she'll probably be here tonight. but anyway, I'm going to make her trip to West Virginia to be in a missions conference there and try to get a little more support, because she's heading to Romania pretty soon. And so I hope you will pray for her in that. Visitors, it's always good to have you here with us. If you'll take your bulletin, and in that little flap there on the bulletin, I don't know what else to call it other than that, if you would fill that out with your name and address and everything, and if you would do that, we would really appreciate that. You can either drop it in the offering as the plate comes by, or you can bring it to a little reception we have for you after the service, just out the door, directly in the back and to the right immediately. There's a little reception area for our visitors and those of you who may have brought visitors with you today. I know we have visitors here. Joe, good to have you and your wife here. And Dick Lucas said to check on you and make sure you are in church today. So I'll check it off. Okay. I'll let him know. Other folks visiting with us, and we're delighted to have you, and I hope you will. I hope you'll do that and come by, and I'd like to meet you, and others of the staff would like to meet you, answer any question you have, might have a little refreshment for you, and that kind of thing. And so I hope you'll do that. And members, good to have you here. We did have a good time last Sunday in Dallas with Voices of Victory, and as I wrote in the bulletin, tonight at 6 o'clock they're going to do a concert in the evening service. So I hope you'll come back tonight and hear these young people. Ordinarily, as I said in the bulletin, ordinarily you hear them sing one song. But whenever they're someplace else, it's a little different than that. And I mean, there's introductions and there's the thing that you've probably heard before. Good evening, we're the Voices of Victory from Volusia County Baptist Church. We call our church the home place because, and I won't get a whole spiel, but anyway, they go through all of that and around the song V is for Victory. And I think you'll enjoy them if you'll come tonight and give a listen to them and just enjoy being with them here in the service. And this is your church. These are your kids. And when they go out, they represent you, and you ought to find out what kind of job they do. Turn to number 318 in your book. Brother Mark's coming back to lead us again. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary.
You can just remain seated if you'd like. 318, sing it out now.
There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter, the the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. Amen. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross will stay. I believe in a hill called Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time is over and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. On the last, sing it now. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last. Sing it out now. Here we go. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Ushers, come forward if you will. We'll worship the Lord today with our tithes and offerings. I believe that today the pictures you're going to see are going to be a little different. We have Voices of Victory from their trip to Texas on the slides today during the offering. And I notice as I look at the bulletin that the choir is playing, the orchestra is playing Holy, Holy, Holy for the offering. Marshall, good to see you. I know it is. I know it is. Yes, sir. Some people do anything to get attention. Where was I? I just trust that the pictures are not too out of sync with the music. It's a very serious song, and I'm not sure, though I have not seen these pictures. I have seen pictures. I'm not sure which ones are in this presentation. And so I hope that they're not, too inconsistent with the music. But we'll see what happens, and it'll be all right. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the time we come to now, where we worship you by giving to you. Lord, I pray it'll be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth. In your bulletin, you have the song, and I knew what it was. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. And it's from Hebrews chapter 13. Let's stand together and let's sing it. If you know it, if you don't know it, you'll learn it real quickly. It's very easy, all right? Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never glory to His name. Now, what great doctrine is contained in that verse and in that song because of that verse? What great doctrine about Christ is it? Immutability. Most of us don't know that word, immutability, but it's not mutating. It doesn't mutate. It doesn't change. God doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I'm glad he doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm glad his mood doesn't change.
Yes,
sir. I'm glad what he is, he always has been, and what he always has been, he always will be. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Boy, we change.
Yes, sir.
All the time. We're up 1 minute, down the next minute, just inconsistent, on again, off again, but Jesus Christ is that. We got to sing it again, all right? Here we go. I'm going to preach after a while, but that's a pretty good place to park right there. It really is.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never returns.
Up here, come down to be with you, shake hands and greet each other, meet a visitor, meet a visitor. Seated. Look back here, and I think I saw Rick Elkins. Rick, good to see you today. Glad you're able to be here. No mask on or anything like that? All right. All right. Good to see you here. I think it's the first time you've been back since the transplant. Okay. Well, it's good to see you today. Glad you're able to be here. And keep that hand sanitizer going. I mean, yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy the Rogers family, and then be ready to open your Bible to the book of Romans. I don't know whether you guys remember or not, but that's the first song I ever heard you all do. I got a private concert at the house one night whenever I visited there after they had visited here. And I went by and I said, "Do you all sing?" And they said, "Yeah, we do." And so they sang. And sure enough, they did sing. How about that? I'm going to read one verse and then going to go to the book of Romans chapter 4. The verse I'm going to read is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And it uses the word multiple times that I'm going to use as the title of the message. 2 weeks ago, I preached on persuasion or persuaded, being persuaded. Today, I preach on deliverance or delivered. Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then I'm going to Romans chapter 5. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now this word deliverance here, as it is used here, has to do with rescue. It has to do with saved. Now, deliver is an interesting word in the English language because it has almost opposite meanings by the way it's used. Now, some of you understand, we understand delivery service. In other words, taking something at an appointed time to an appointed place and seeing to it that it arrives. That's delivery. Making a delivery. Priority mail, delivery, gets priority. And that is a delivery, okay? But this deliverance here has to rescue, to save, to provide deliverance out of a situation. Now we turn to another aspect of deliverance in the book of Romans, chapter 4. And the last verse, in fact, is I'm going to read about Abraham starting in verse 20 because we come to the last verse here, which is a dramatic verse concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 20, after dealing extensively with Abraham, it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. We were there 2 weeks ago. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was given to him. It was put to Abraham's account. Righteousness was put to his account. Now, it was written for his sake. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What shall be imputed? The same thing that was imputed to Abraham. Righteousness. Righteousness. Imputed. Given. Put to our account. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, verse 25. Notice this use of deliver. Who was delivered for our offenses. Now, whenever it's talking about being delivered for our offenses, it's not talking about being saved from. It's not the same use of the word. And though it's one word in English, there were two completely different words in the Greek language, but we have one word that is used for both things. This deliver here means that he was given over. It literally means betrayed. He was given over. He was delivered. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, another interesting word, an English word, in this verse 25 is the little preposition for. And it has many different meanings. Sometimes this is, you're going to get what for. Okay? Sometimes we say to the kids, I'm going to give you what for. And they say, why? For, in the first use of the words, he was delivered for our offenses. Because of our offenses. And was raised again for our justification. And as an order to provide. To provide. And so the different aspects of the word for. Now, it's not a problem with God. It's a problem with us sometimes with understanding the thing. Because we just don't really look at it and think of those things. But you look at that same word and the aspects of it. It's wonderful to look at those things. Now, whenever it says he was delivered, I want you to get the reality of that fact that Jesus was delivered. He was given over. He was given over. When Judas, in Matthew chapter 26, in the first part of the chapter, rather long chapter, in verse 15, he went to the scribes and he went to the priests and he went to them to make an agreement with them to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made an agreement with them for 30 pieces of silver. And this is what he said in our English translation. He says, I will deliver him to you. I'll deliver him. In other words, I'll give him over. I will betray him. And they made an agreement, a financial agreement. They made an agreement. They made an agreement of how that would be done. They did not have flashlights. They didn't have a cell phone. They had a flashlight app on it and turn it on. And whenever we get in the garden, I'll turn that on. And I'll just walk right up to him and you'll see his face and you'll know who it. No. He said, it'll be dark. You will not be able to see anything. And so you'll know which one it is by the one I kiss. And he walked up and kissed him probably on both cheeks. Probably kissed him on both cheeks, as would be the custom in that part of the world, even today. Whenever I get to Israel in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, when I get there, I'll be met at the airport by Menachem Wertheim. And whenever I see him and he sees me, we will run toward each other. And we will hug. And I'll say, don't kiss me, Menachem. Don't kiss me. And he'll kiss me anyhow. But I don't kiss him back. But Judas said, I'll identify him, and in that way I will deliver him. I will betray him. I will give him into your hands. Now, also, in book of Mark, chapter 15, of the book of Mark, whenever we're coming to the end of book of Mark, that's a companion and just after Matthew chapter 26 in the sequence of time. Jesus is brought to Pilate by the Jews. Of course, he went through a Jewish trial before the Sanhedrin. And they took him to the Gentile ruler because they could not execute him the way they wanted him to be executed. They did not have that power. And they brought him to Pilate, and the word says that when they brought him to Pilate, they delivered him. They delivered him to Pilate. They gave him over to Pilate. It's interesting that here in Romans chapter 4, that word is used, and the word is used there in relationship to Judas, and it's used in relationship to the Jews as they bring him to Pilate. But it's also interesting also that in that same book in Matthew chapter 15, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 15, that was verse 10 we just looked at, and in verse 15, it says that Pilate delivered him to the soldiers. In a very real sense, Jesus was delivered. Judas delivered him to the priests. The priests delivered him to Pilate. Pilate delivered him to the soldiers. But dearly beloved, it's bigger than that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's greater than that. Because in the book of Romans also, in chapter 8, verse 32, it says that God the Father himself spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God gave him over. God gave him over. He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered up to die. And the whole sequence came in as it's carried out in the earthly realm. But before that and beyond that, it was carried out in the heavenly realm, that it was determined that this would be done, that Jesus would be given. He would be delivered for our offenses. Can you grasp that?
Thank you.
Now, he wasn't just delivered. He was delivered to die. He was delivered to die because of our offenses. In Isaiah chapter 53, I think there's no greater passage. It's not the only passage by any means, but it's probably the greatest passage, where it says concerning the Messiah, concerning the Christ, concerning our Lord. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And there is a truth in that. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was delivered for our offenses. Now you understand that our offenses are against God. You see, if you come to me to confess your sins, you have not offended me.
Amen.
I'm not the one that determines sins. Now, if you've done something to me that I need to forgive you for because you did that to me, you said something about me or did something to me or you did something to something that I own or you misaligned my character or something like that, you set in judgment on me, then I can forgive you for that. But I can't forgive your sins because your sins are not against me.
Yeah.
Your sins are against God.
Amen.
You see, here's Dave Weiss. If you offend me, and I mean by that you do something against me, purposely or inadvertently, you do something against me. And you go to Dave Weiss and you say, Dave, I'm just going to tell you, I did this to the preacher and I know I really shouldn't have done that. And David, I want you to forgive me. Dave's going to say, excuse me? He can't forgive that. If somebody comes to me and says, I've done this, and I know God didn't want me to do that, and I've disobeyed God, and I know I've sinned against God, and I know I've broken God's law, I know I've done that, preacher, I want you to forgive me. I can't forgive you.
Yeah.
I don't have that power.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you what, no man
yeah.
has power to forgive your
yes,
offenses
sir.
Against God.
Yes.
God alone has that power. Now, he is delivered for our offenses. And our offenses are against God. And the one who is offended is the one with whom you have to deal. But I want you to know this. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ satisfied the justice of God. Now, I want you to go with me again. If you have your Bible open to it, it's fine. But if you don't, I want you to just listen to this. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it's verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. Now, we talk much about the, in verses 4, 5, and even 6, talk about the suffering physically of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. But you get the idea that it's beyond just a physical thing. It's beyond just the whip that was laid on his back. It's beyond just, and I don't want to trivialize that at all, but it's beyond the thorns that were placed on his head. It's beyond the slapping and the plucking of the beard. It's beyond the mocking. It's beyond that. It says, he shall see the travail of his soul. There was something that no human eye could witness. And that was the travail of his soul. When God the Father looked upon that one whom he delivered for our offenses, when he looked upon him, he saw certainly the physical suffering that Jesus was put through, but he saw beyond that the spiritual suffering. He saw the travail of his soul. And when he saw that, it says right here, he was satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It's like the Father said, seeing the travail, the spiritual travail, the inner travail of the pure, holy, sinless Son of God becoming sin for us, delivered for our offenses, because of our offenses he is delivered. And the Father says, that's it. That's it. I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with that. I was preaching this same principle, different sermon, but the same principle, at a church in Baltimore. And after the service, a man came to me and he said, "Preacher, I've been trying all my life to make God satisfied with me." Now that's a great motivation, but he said, "Today I see that whenever I get in the one with whom he's satisfied, yes, then he's satisfied with me."
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes. Amen. Oh my. He was delivered for our offenses. Our works caused his death. And his work brings us life. Isn't that a marvelous thing? God's justice demanded the payment, and God's love made the payment. Because he was delivered to die, we can be delivered from death. In other words, because he was delivered over, given over to die, that means we can be rescued from death. His deliverance provides our deliverance. And in that statement, you have both definitions of the word deliverance. He was given over that we might be saved. He was delivered for our offenses that we might be delivered, that we might be saved unto God. Oh, it's a magnificent truth. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. That's Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. Deliverance. To be delivered. And he died on the cross in our place. But it's interesting. The verse doesn't end there, and the work doesn't end there. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. All of these are judicial terms. All of these things have to do with the court. It has to do with God's court, with God's judgment, with condemnation, with deliverance from condemnation. It has to do with guilt. It has to do with payment. It has to do with all of those things. Now, the fact is solidly true. If I'm going to make the payment for my sins, the only thing I can do is die and go to hell and stay there forever and ever and ever and ever. And why? Why? Why would it be forever and ever and ever and ever? Because as a mortal individual, I can never fully satisfy the demands of a just and righteous God. I cannot do that. I'm eternally paying the debt, but it's never completely paid.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ, because he was the sinless Son of God, and as infinite God, could infinitely suffer in that amount of time, because of that, God satisfied. Now let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with him? Well, preacher, I'm doing my best. That means you're not satisfied with him. Well, I joined the church. You're not satisfied with him. I got baptized. You're not satisfied with him. God is not satisfied as far as salvation, forgiveness, heaven, deliverance. Getting in the water doesn't satisfy him.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Getting your name on a church roll doesn't satisfy him. It's interesting that even keeping the Ten Commandments doesn't satisfy him.
Amen.
There's nothing that satisfies him except the true, pure, and solemn sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He was delivered for our offenses, but then he rose again for our justification. Well, how do you get in on that? How does that happen? How does that take place? Well, it would make sense that it would be in the next verse. But sometimes we miss it because the chapter ends right there. Therefore, and of course you hear it often, and rightfully so. When you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Okay. All right. And therefore is there for your understanding of what has just gone before. Okay? Therefore, being justified by baptism. No, I don't believe that's what it says. Nothing else there except faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how was Abraham justified? This is the whole argument down through here. The whole argument of chapter 4 is how Abraham was justified, how righteousness was imputed to him. Well, it says very clearly, Abraham was justified by faith. By faith. Do you know what that means? That means people in the Old Testament get saved the same way people in the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Everybody gets saved the same way. It means that's the way Paul, man is writing this, that's the way he got saved. It means that's the way John got saved. That's the way Matthew got saved.
Amen.
Everybody gets saved the same way. Therefore, being justified. After all of these arguments, he says, I have brought to you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you get a camera on Sherry? Okay. Somewhere over there, that one, or some camera on Sherry. I don't want to be on there. I want Sherry on there. Ah, there we go. Somewhere, find her. Okay, Sherry, show me friends. Right? That's right. Okay. Now show me enemies. You see that? Friends broke at each other. Yeah. Friends break at each other. I am no more this with God. Woo! It's okay. It's okay. That'll be all right right there. That'll be all right right there. Yeah. I'm like that with God. I have peace with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you, the deliverance that God gives to us is beyond human expression. May it be a reality in all of our lives. And if you've never experienced that in your life, don't leave today like this with God. Leave like this with God.
Yes.
Let's stand together in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Who here today will say, "Preacher, that's what I want." And today, right now, right here where I stand, right now, I will trust Jesus Christ as my own Savior. Will you just lift your hand? Just lift your hand. Amen. Amen. Just up, back down. Just up, back down. Amen. Wonderful. 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 Others? You say, "That's me today. That's me right here. That's me. Today I'll trust Jesus as my Savior." Okay. Okay. I'll do that. I want that. That's what I want. That's... I don't want to leave here the enemy of God. I want to leave here at peace with God. Now, I'm just going to simply ask you to pray and tell God this prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray. Now, you don't have to do that. Prayer doesn't save you. None of us can pray well enough to get ourselves to heaven. Now, I know that, and you know that. But in prayer, we can tell God the desire of our hearts, and we can express our will to God. Just quietly. Just whisper to God. He understands as loud as well as if you were as loud as can be. He understands. He hears. He knows.
Yeah.
Would you just tell him, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I don't deserve to go to heaven. I really deserve to go to hell. But I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, that he was delivered for my sins. And right now, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. Give me everlasting life and a home in heaven with you when I die. Thank you." Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, I'm going to finish the prayer. But before I do, I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I did that. I received Jesus as my Savior today." Would you slip your hand back up? I did that. I did that today. God bless you. God bless you and you. I did that today. I did that today. I received Jesus as my Savior today. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I do not know what you need to do in further than that. If you need to come down to the front, let us know about that. Talk to someone. Pray with someone here. That would be fine. That would be fine. That's between you and the Lord, as all of this is. But there's some here this morning that may need to receive believer's baptism. There may be some here that need to come join in fellowship with this church. There may be some here today who've wandered far away from God. And you need to come back to Him today. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. We wait just a moment. If God's spoken to your heart, now's the time. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? We wait just a moment. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want to introduce you to David. David, stand here with me just a moment. You're Donner, right?
Yes.
David. And David, let me ask you a couple of questions in front of these people. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes, sir, I do.
And have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your own Savior?
Yes, I have.
And have you received believer's baptism since your salvation?
Yes, I have.
Wonderful, wonderful. He wants to come and join and be part of this church on the basis of his statement of faith. If you receive him today, would you let him know it by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. We do. We rejoice with you and thank you for that. And I want you to meet someone else here. You can be seated, David. And this is Susie. These are beautiful pens we gave out on anniversary Sunday, but I can't get the top to stay on when I'm writing with it.
I can't even.
I cram it on there somehow, and I don't know anything to do about it except tie a string on both pieces and keep them together. But anyway, this is Susie. Susie, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
I do.
And are you trusting Jesus Christ as your own Savior?
Yes, I am.
And now you want to follow the Lord in scriptural believer's baptism. Is that right?
Yes.
and go on and live for him. Amen. If you rejoice with her, would you let her know it by saying amen?
Amen.
And we do rejoice. And so if you'd like, and Barbara, I guess, or whoever can go with Susie here, and you have your things right here in your purse and everything like that. Okay. All right. I do hope you'll be back tonight. Let's sing Welcome to the Family, okay? Don't leave, Susie, until we sing to you. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters, come on in. Welcome to this family of God. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay. Tonight at 6 o'clock. Tonight at 6 o'clock. And I hope you'll be back. I hope you'll be back and hear these young people. I think you'll enjoy them. You may even be surprised as I am. Now, I've said this before, but I want you to know, ordinarily at this time of the year with this group, we're just beginning to learn one or two songs. And that's because, you know, it changes every year. The group changes every year. But this year, we kind of got under the gun a little bit because of Richard Wallace. And so I took a picture in that Stockyards at Fort Worth. It's a real tourist trap, I'm going to tell you right now. I thought I was in the old city of Jerusalem. But they got these, like in Hollywood, they have a Walk of Fame and they have stars in the sidewalk. Out there they have these plaques in the sidewalk of great Texans. And there was a law enforcement officer, and his name was, I forget the initials, but his nickname was Bigfoot Wallace. Bigfoot Wallace. I tried to get Richard to put his foot down beside that thing and let me get his foot in the picture, but that didn't work. I thought that was very interesting. But he put us under the gun, and so we have a full program. We'll not do all the songs tonight, but we'll do, seven or eight songs good enough? Okay, very good. We'll do seven or eight songs, and you'll meet all the young people in this year's group. You'll meet them, and so that'll be good. Brother Mark, tell us about things to put on our cars and in our yards and all that kind of stuff.
I want to remind everyone first that the Riverboat Dinner Cruise is this Saturday. Now, today is the last day to get tickets to go on this. This is a fundraiser opportunity. When you purchase your ticket, built into that is a little donation toward the jail ministry of Seminole County Jail. And Kathleen, would you stand, please? This is Kathleen Robles. She's the Westmoreland's representative this morning there in the jail ministering, but she has those tickets. And today's the last day to get it. You can get it tonight, I think, as well. But see her this morning, if you would. And then on tomorrow morning, we're stuffing candy stockings. Thank you so much for bringing candy. 2,500 strong. 2,500 candy stockings. If you do the math, about 15 pieces of candy, that's over 30,000 pieces of candy. We're nowhere near that. I sure hope that some people will be so gracious as to bring some more candy tonight. That would be great. But we'll stuff as much as we can tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, in the activities building. And if you can help us with that, that would be marvelous. Don't forget about prayer. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Amen. Now, tonight at 5:30 in the activity building, our prayer team meets before church. And we had, I guess, about, 15 or so on last Sunday night. Thank you. We pray audibly, pray out loud, and about specific needs, specific things going on. So if you would, please meet with us back there at 5:30 this evening, and that would be a great blessing. If you would like to help in Journey Through Christmas, here's where you start. If you've not yet filled out a survey, an I Am Willing survey, please go to the back table back there, the journey table, and pick up one of these. They'll explain everything on here. Everyone can serve in one area, just one area during journey, but there are many things you can do before journey begins. And I really would love to see, you know, God's in charge of this. He will help make it happen, okay? With or without us, He will help make it happen. But here's the deal. If you have a part in it, then God credits that to your account. So it's our responsibility to try to get you involved some way, somehow. And so if you would, please, when you go by there, pick up some tickets and hand out tickets or business cards. Put out business cards somewhere or tickets and tell people, I'd like to give you a free ticket to Journey Through Christmas. That's all you have to say. I'd like to give you a free ticket to Journey Through Christmas. Pastor was in the elevator. We went to go see Brittany in the hospital yesterday. In the elevator, he pulled out some of the business cards, and he was inviting people in the elevator and to Journey Through Christmas. There are these signs back there that are magnets, and they stick on your car. They're very expensive. They're $20 a piece. $20 a piece. The church helps carry that expense as advertising. The church will pay half if you will pay half. And so the church pays $10 for every one of these, and then you can keep this year after year, and we just change the numbers of the dates. So you only have to buy it once. We've used ours for almost 5 years now we've used ours. So some meetings, and I know he's going to be baptizing. There it is. If you're involved in parking or security, please meet down here, as well as costumes. If you're helping with the costumes, please meet down here if you would. If you would like to get in on the baking of the cookies, the teens especially are having a baking party in the kitchen this Friday evening at 5:30 and the following Friday evening at 5:30. So this Friday in the kitchen up there. And then last couple of things. This week, if the church has your email address, if we have your email address, expect to get an email from us that is a promotional email about Journey Through Christmas. Here's what we'd like you to do. If you feel comfortable doing this, would you please forward that to your friends? Won't cost you a dime. People forward things all the time. And so if you receive that in your email inbox, then just forward it. It has pictures, it has the video you saw, and all this kind of thing, and that would be a great thing. Also, go on our Facebook page, Journey Through Christmas Facebook, and they tell me to tell you to like it, and share it with your friends and all that kind of thing. So do something that God can bless and use to reach souls. Thank you.
All right, be patient with us in all these things. We need to get this done. And thank you for that. Susie, come right on in, if you will. Just be careful and take your time. Don't hurry. There you go. And just turn right around and have a seat. All right. Susie, upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your own Savior, and in obedience to God and God's command, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hands. Buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And it has been done as the Lord commanded. Let's stand together, if you will. Visitors, if you will, come by the reception area right out the doors in the center of the back wall, and then just turn to your right as soon as you go out there. The folks are there for you. I'll be there in just a moment. I'm going to say goodbye to the people on live stream, and then I'll be right back there also. Be back tonight at 6 if you can at all. God bless you. You're dismissed. All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's a marvelous thing whenever we can be with you there where you are and still have service here in Orange City. I'm delighted that you have joined us today, and I trust your heart was spoken to by the Lord in this time. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may this be the day. And I trust that you already have. And if you do not know Jesus, I trust that today, whenever we prayed, that you said, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you as my Savior." Thank you so much for being with us. I do believe that tonight, if you watch tonight at 6 o'clock, if you tune back in tonight at 6 o'clock, that you will enjoy hearing this group of young people from our church, Voices of Victory. And I think they'll be a blessing to you. You'll be challenged by their conduct, the way they look, the way they sing. Good kids. But thank you for being with us, and I hope you'll come down here to Florida, visit with us, or maybe if you're in South Florida or in some other country, that you'll come over and see us. But we'd be delighted to have you. Pray much about Journey Through Christmas. Maybe there's something the Lord would have you do, even in the matter of giving. And if the Lord leads your heart to that, I trust that you'll obey Him in it. Thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you again. Bye-bye.